is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Crystals for the Soul with Linda Perry. Linda has worked with crystals for over 20 years and has a wealth of knowledge on how to use them to support our spiritual journey. She brings her deep knowledge and powerful intuition to her coaching sessions, classes, and her crystal store. Please welcome Linda Perry. Back to News for the Soul.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to my show on crystals. If there's anybody new, welcome. And my name is Linda. Today I wanted to talk about crystals for grief or grieving. There seems to be quite a few people asking about it lately. And I know even in my own family we had a death just recently. but grieving is not just the death of a loved one or a cherished pet. It can be the loss of a job or a way of life, maybe parting ways with somebody, that sort of thing. So I wanted to talk about crystals that are good to support you through grief. And I do have some questions that have been sent in for the last half of the show. And the very first one was crystals to aid in grieving process. So that was from Shirley in Ohio. And this would be the best show for you to listen to about the crystals for grief. Now, what exactly is grief? Now, the Mayo Clinic defines it as grief is a strong, sometimes overwhelming emotion. The Cleveland Clinic defines it as grief is the experience of coping with loss. Most of us think of grief, as happening in the painful period following the death of a loved one, but grief can accompany an event that disrupts or challenges our sense of normalcy or ourselves. This includes the loss of connections that define us. So, and that's what I was saying, is that when most people think of grief, they think of the loss of a loved one. But we can also grieve over other issues in our life that come up that, such as, like I said, you know, a loss of a job. Maybe it was a very loved job. You know, things like that. Now, those connections can be the loss of a loved one, loss of a pet, loss of a job, loss of our health, and all of a sudden being diagnosed with something. A way of life, a sense of community, maybe disconnect from your, whether it's your community you live in or a friendship community, something like that. The loss of a dream or a goal, a loss of financial stability, fertility, loss of our youth, and more. So there's lots of different things that come up in our life that we can actually go through a grieving process. Now, there are 5 stages of grief. Pardon me. Maybe it's the grief of the loss of your voice. there are 5 stages of grief in the book called On Death and Dying by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And these 5 stages are: denial is the first one. So we may have difficulty in accepting that the loss is real and we feel numb. Then there's anger, and which is a natural feeling, but it's a feeling of unfairness. You may direct answer at multiple sources, including people who couldn't have either saved a loved one, or at, say if it was loss of a job, at the company, might even be to yourself, or even no one in particular. Then there's bargaining, and this is imagining reaching an agreement, so you don't have to deal with the loss. You may also regret past actions that you imagine could have spared you in having the loss in your life. There's depression. Some people experience the complex emotions associated with depression, including longing, sadness, and even emotional detachment. Then comes acceptance. Now, grief comes in waves, but eventually the pain can ease. It doesn't always go away depending on what you are grieving about, especially if it's a loss of a very close loved one. But the pain does ease over time. And it's possible to accept the reality of loss, and then we learn to live again. Now, many people reduce the stages to steps that everyone must experience to grieve, but these stages were never intended to be rules. Not everyone who grieves experiences all of these stages, and they don't have to happen in any particular order. Sometimes we move from one to another and then back again. Sometimes we skip. Sometimes we don't go through one of them at all, one or more of them at all. Grieving is a personal process, and everyone grieves differently, and it depends on what you're grieving about. Now, there are crystals that can support us through any stage and part of grief, and any kind of grief. And grief is actually a process, and as I said, everyone goes through it and feels it differently. There are no time limits on grief. Sometimes people seem to skip through it, and sometimes people go through it and takes a very long time. Now, there's no right or wrong way to go through a grief process. What is right is allowing yourself to feel through the process and not block anything. 10 years ago, my mom passed away, and I used citrine and jet through that process. And there are several crystals that you can use and choose from. The first three are my top ones that I recommend, and the ones that we use in our Journey Through Grief crystal kit in the store that we sell. But definitely use what resonates with you, what feels right to you as well. Citrine and jet were the two that really helped me a lot, as I said. But the first one is amethyst. I added amethyst to the grief kit because it's soothing and calming for the emotions and for the body. It is a natural tranquilizer, and it can help us when the pain becomes too intense. It would also help if you tend to lean towards bad habits, maybe a grieving process, and you go into that little bit of depression. You might tend to go towards picking up a bad habit that you had quit. Some people go towards smoking or overeating or things like that. But amethyst helps you to lean towards breaking those. and may help you not go towards them if it was a very intense grieving time for you. Citrine. Citrine is my go-to for a lot of things, but it's a very happy and uplifting gem. It enhances your own personal power to be able to stand strong in the face of loss and adversity. So it helps you keep that stiff back and look at things with courage and your own power. The energy of citrine is very uplifting to our spirits and our moods, so we don't sink down into depression or feeling really low. And even though you carry the crystals, you can still slip into all of a sudden a feeling of loss overcomes you, and you might cry. But that's actually really good because you're allowing those emotions to come up, feel them, and let them go. Crying is a good way of detoxifying. Now, jet. If you can get jet, I like it. It's one of my, like I said, it's one of my top three. But if you can find jet, it's not always easy to find jet these days. But it helps to relieve pain and tension. And it's a strong protective stone. And when we go through a grieving process, especially if it's the loss of a loved one or some, or an issue or something in our life that was very important to us, it can be very painful. And jet can help to relieve pain. It is a root chakra stone and helps us to stay grounded and strong, solid, and anchored to the healing energy of the earth. And that's another reason why it really works well. Jet is a purifier, so it helps to purify the emotions. It helps to draw away any unwanted energy from you or around you, while at the same time it helps to bring in positive energy, and that's really important in a grieving process. Apache tear. This stone brings good luck. It's an emotional balancer, and it protects. Now, there is a legend around Apache tear that is a little bit of a haunting one, but you can see why it would be good in a grieving process. So in Arizona, after the penal Apaches had made several raids on a settlement, the military followed them and the stolen cattle, because that's what they did, they stole the cattle, to their hideout, and they waited until dawn to attack. The Apaches thought they were safe and were taken by surprise. They were outnumbered, and nearly 50 of the 75 Apache band were killed in that first volley. The rest retreated to the cliff and chose death by leaping over the edge than to die by the white man's hand. The Apache women gathered near the base of the cliff where the sands were white and for a moon, so it means a month, wept for their dead and for the loss of the great fighting spirit of the penal Apaches. Their sadness was great, their sorrow sincere. So the great father, or creator, whatever you want to call it, embedded their tears into black stones. When held to the light, these stones reveal the translucent tear of the Apache. It is said anyone possessing one will never have to cry again. So I just thought that was really interesting to let you know about the legend. I've heard the legend before, and there are different versions of that legend, but all are fairly similar. So you can see why Apache Tear could be good for a grieving process. And is more readily available than Jet. So if you can't find Jet, Apache Tear is a good substitute. Moonstone. Moonstone helps with cycles of change, and it's a stone of new beginnings, peace, harmony, balance, and calm. And of course, when we go through a loss, we're losing something, and then from out of that comes a new type of beginning, and of course it brings change, right? And some people have a hard time going through change. Rose quartz is just soft, loving, soothing energy, very calming. So it can be very good to work with during a grieving process, and most especially if emotions are involved, especially hurt emotions. So say it was the breakup of a relationship or a friendship. You could use that to help with soothing hurt emotions and starting to heal them. Smoky quartz, it's a stone of deep protection and healing. And I call it the crystal version of your best friend. When you work with smoky quartz, it's like your best friend is holding your hand and encouraging you to keep going. So smoky quartz is really good. And when you're feeling down, hurt, going through a loss, anything like that. Then there's lepidolite, which is an emotional healer, and it helps to release heartbreak, emotional pain, and suffering. There are other ones, but these are some of the ones that are good to work with. It's good to start with. The other one actually is one that's, it is a little bit hard to get, but we do have it in the store, but it's called Axinite, Axinite. Now, Axinite is another one that helps with pain. So, because when you have a loss, there can be lots of pain. So it helps with helping to relieve pain in the body that you're storing in the body. And it helps to give you an overall well-being. And it also encourages your endurance as well. So it could be a really good one to work with too. You can work with any of these crystals alone or together. And it's really whatever works for you and whatever feels right to you. You can put them in your pocket, you can wear them, you can hold them, meditate with them, put them under your pillow, on your desk, on your altar, etc. And if you find that you've put a few together and it doesn't feel quite right, then start with one and work with that, and then add another one. So like the process of elimination, which one didn't work for you, or which one didn't seem to fit with the crystals that you wanted to use. So be aware of how you feel when you start working with them. Does it make you feel better, feel worse? And don't be surprised when emotions do come up and you go, oh, where did that come from? it's usually the crystals helping to work through that process. And so that you're not holding on to things. When we go through things in our life like loss or traumas and that sort of thing, we tend to suck everything in and hold on to it. And crystals will help you to relax and let go and open up so that you don't carry that energy with you. Because if you do and don't ever let it go, then it builds up and builds up in the body, and then you start getting ill or dis-ease and that sort of thing. So it's important to make sure that you don't hold on to things. Memories are different. If you had a loss of a loved one or a friend or friendship, you know, a relationship, a pet, memories help us get through. Thinking about the person, the things that you did with them, laughing, having a good time, you know, things like that, things they said help you to become lighter and to let go of the grief and keep the fun and the happiness around it and the lightness. If it's, say, the loss of a job or something like that, it's learning how to let go and also to say, and know that that door closed. It closed for a reason. It may have been a different reason than you think, but know that another door always opens. So imagine yourself when you face that situation, face, and actually even yourself, reaching out and pulling that door closed and turning around in the opposite direction and seeing another door that you can open. Sometimes that helps people in those kinds of situations. I know I've been in those situations myself, and while it is, it's a different type of grieving that you go through than it is with a loved one. That one, I think sometimes anger comes up more than in the loss of a loved one. But just make sure that you know that you're not defined by that. It's a situation, and maybe you are just glad, or find out as you go through the grieving process, I am so glad I'm not in that situation anymore. And you might see that there might have been a lot of negative energy there. And you can then turn and face a different direction. You can use Moonstone with that because it helps with change and new beginnings. And you can turn around and face what's new and going to be coming into your life that's new and exciting and something you can look forward to. You can make it happen yourself, or maybe an opportunity all of a sudden lands in your lap and you go, wow, look at that. Now I understand why I lost the job or whatever it was, because now I've got something even better. And that's quite often what happens if we allow it. So I hope that helps today on grieving. And Shirley in Ohio, she had the question about the grieving process. So she got a really good in-depth answer to her question. But I've got a couple of other questions here. Shelley in New Zealand, she asked if there are any helpful crystals for nightmares. Yes, there are. there's a crystal for everything, just about. There's a few that can help with nightmares. Well, there is definitely one for sure that can help with nightmares itself. And then there are other crystals that you could add for calming and soothing, and especially like calming to the mind as well. Now, the one that helps to dispel nightmares is actually amethyst. Amethyst is calming, it's soothing, but it really does help to dispel nightmares. The other thing I suggest to people is celestite. And that crystal connects to the angelic realm. Quite a few years ago, a customer came in and she said, you know, her daughter was not very old, just a month or two old, but every night she cried when she woke up crying in the night. And she didn't know why, and she was sort of thought maybe she's having some kind of nightmares. So I said, get a piece of celestite, and a little cluster would be good. And I said, put it under her crib, but you can put it beside the bed as well. But there's also tumbled celestites that you could put under a pillow. And she stopped crying in the night. So it's something that it's very calming and soothing, and part of the fact is that it does connect to that angelic realm and brings those into your energy. And the other thing that you could do is get a little statue of an angel, or you can get crystal carvings of angels and have it on the night table. If it's for yourself or for children, that little statue is something that when they wake up and they've had a nightmare, they could reach out and grab that little statue, knowing that they are watched over by angels. And that can be calming and soothing. Lepidolite is another one. It calms the emotions. And when we, because I get nightmares and things like that once in a while, and I find that when you wake up, it's like you're afraid, and then you don't really want to go back to sleep because you can go back into the dream. But getting something like lepidolite and amethyst together would help to calm the emotions and let go of whatever that nightmare was about. Selenite, it brings in that pure white ray, and it's another crystal that connects to the angelic realm. It's a really good one to place in the bedroom. Actually, it's a really good one to place everywhere in your house, in every room, because it helps to absorb anything that's negative or doesn't belong there. Then a good grounding crystal like hematite or black tourmaline is really good. It keeps the energy in the room and the person grounded and anchored. Crystals for protection like black tourmaline and smoky quartz, numite, the obsidians like black obsidian, black onyx. Any black crystal is going to be grounding and used for protection. And they protect the energy and the space. Rose quartz, another one, soft, loving energy. Chrysoprase. This is one I love for if you are worrying or stressing or fearing something, but it also promotes emotional balance and stability. It'll help you feel more relaxed, and it promotes a restful sleep. Blue kyanite is another one. Blue kyanite does not hold negative energy, but it pulls it out and away. And it is very good for aligning all the chakras so that you feel grounded and you feel better, you feel settled as well. So blue kyanite could be another one. We also have bloodstone, which helps to calm the mind. And when we have a nightmare, not only are emotions and the body, but the mind also starts going a mile a minute. And it's really good for calming the mind, as is howlite. It's calming and it stills the mind. So those are all really good ones for nightmares, and actually how we feel when we wake up from a nightmare too. We want to be able to feel like we can go back to sleep and not have to lie there and feel like we've either done something wrong, or there's something in the room, or we're afraid, or stressing, or anything like that. All of these types of crystals, and any crystal that is very calming, blue lace agate is another one, magnesite is another one, any calming crystal is really good as well. And Shelley, what I would say too is start definitely with amethyst. You could place selenite in the room as well, and maybe a grounding and protective crystal. They can also be put under the person's pillow as well, and see how that works. Don't go and get a ton of them. See how they work, and then you can add more as you go. I always recommend that because sometimes people can be overwhelmed by crystal energy. A lot of people can be very sensitive to that energy, and it then can end up doing the opposite, where it makes them sort of woozy and off balance and that sort of thing. So we want to start small and build on those crystals to be able to get a nice little kit going there for the person who's having the nightmares. Then we have, I hope that helps, Shelley. But the one thing I really do like, especially for children, is that little angel statue, because to them it's a symbol of my angels are watching over me. And if it is a child, what I recommend to customers too is get them involved in choosing the crystals. And you might say, okay, we're going to start with amethyst. Have them choose the amethyst they are attracted to. And the other crystals as well. Ask them to feel it, and how does it feel to them? And they could choose how they want the crystal that feels right for them. And that way, they are part of the whole process of allowing the nightmares to go away. And they know what each crystal does, because kids love crystals. They know what each crystal does, and they could choose their own little angel as well. Lots of stores have what they call little crystal pocket angels, and they could choose the one that they gravitate to and place it on their bedside table. And it can act as a symbol for their own angels watching over them so that they know that they're being watched over as they sleep. It can actually help children to sleep and then help them with nightmares as well. The other thing I think is really good with nightmares, because I sometimes get very vivid dreams. When I always remember them, even as from a kid. It's get them to talk about those nightmares. What happened in the nightmare? And maybe what you could do is then talk to them about it and say, oh, well, you know what? This happened today, and you were probably still thinking about it when you were sleeping, and it became this big thing. And how should we deal with that? If that situation comes up again, what would be the best way to deal with that so it doesn't affect you when you sleep? Because sometimes that's what it is. It's getting rid of things that happen during the day, or what Sylvia Brown used to call garbage dreams. It's getting rid of all the crap that happened throughout the day. Maybe you had a really bad day, and it comes out in your dreams. And sometimes can come out as a nightmare. So I think that's a really good process to go through as well, because it makes, or it gives the child, and I'm assuming it's a child, the opportunity to talk about it so they're not keeping it inside. And then you start understanding, and maybe there might also be a commonality throughout some of the nightmares, and there might be a source and that you can actually help with them letting go and healing around it as well. So there's lots of things that can go on with nightmares that we don't always know about, because sometimes you go, oh, it's just a nightmare. Well, it started somewhere, and there is sometimes a source for that, and we can actually go to that source and heal it so that it doesn't come up again. Then we have Donna in New York, and she's got a great question. What can help with dark night of the soul journeys? Great question. I've had some dark night of the soul myself over the years. And to me, the dark night of the soul is working with what is called your shadow side. And what I like to do is work with both the dark and light crystals and energies. Now, the shadow side is really a part of yourself or parts of yourself, and part of you, part of the whole you, and your own unique treasures that make you who you are. And really what it is going into and sinking into yourself. It's a time to feel and a time to reflect. It's a time to honor and reclaim all of yourself, dark, light, and everything in between. And to reacquaint yourself with any part of you that has been pushed down, pushed away, or even been told was unacceptable. Part of that is what is the dark night of the soul, for those who don't know what that is. And sometimes what it is a time of reevaluation, and you need to go inward to do that and sort through things. A lot of people do this around October, and because it's the time of the year when they say the veil is the thinnest, and what they call entering into the shadow season or dark part of the year. But it can be done at any time. does not, you do not have to wait till October or going into the late fall, early winter season, because it can happen anytime. Now, I really believe that there's not just shadow, there's also light. And one cannot exist without the other. They are intertwined, so you need to work with both. As you work through any shadow aspects, there's always light. And we can shine light into our dark spaces. We can choose what to work with and bring them into the light. So what you're doing with shadow work is balancing the light and the dark. And it's accepting maybe some of those dark sides of yourself, because we all have them. Every single one of us has something that we have inside that is part of that dark light. Now, this can be an easy or a hard process, and it depends on what you choose to work with. Now, I like to say work with rather than work on, as it sounds more positive. If you say I'm going to work on this, it sounds like work. It sounds like there's something wrong with you, and I have to work on that. But when you say I'm going to work with it, you are actually accepting what that is. You're accepting that piece of yourself, and you're going to work with it to bring it into the light and transform it in some way, shape, or form. And doing work with ourselves is always positive. And these shadow aspects of ourselves are created when we have a traumatic emotional response to something that was deemed negative by others. And then in turn, we may have them seen as negative ourselves. So to cope, our subconscious minds lock that part of ourselves away in, air quotes, shadow. And what we want to do is we want to reintegrate what that is and those aspects as part of our whole self. And there is a process that you can go through, and to tell you the truth, I taught a class on this. Was it last year, the year ago, maybe October. I taught a class on it, a 2-hour class on it. But what you can do is that there is also crystals that can help support us through this process. And I'm really capsulizing this because, as I said, it was a 2-hour class. And it actually is available if anybody wanted to go through it. It's on our website, and it's called Shadow Work. And it's under classes and archive classes. But there are crystals that we can use to help us through this. Apache tear, just like in the grieving process, because some of this is grief and sadness. And if you have grief, sadness, old patterns, and or negativity to work with and to work through and let go of, Apache tear is a wonderful supportive crystal. It helps to bring to light things that are hidden so that we can purify them. So as you go through the process, you can keep the Apache tear with you in your pocket, under your pillow at night. You can have it wire wrapped and wear it. It will support you through the process that you're going through with shadow work, and it will help to transform any negative or low energy into positive and bring emotional balance. It's also a good crystal to start with, and will help with the karmic and ancestral causes should they come up. So because sometimes that's what our shadow side is about. Sometimes we hold things from our ancestral lineage and our ancestral line, and we go, why is this coming up? I've never experienced that. But that could be why you could be the one holding it. An Apache tear can help you with that. Black Moonstone. That's a crystal that helps you to see who you are as a whole being. And as it has a connection between your light side and your shadow side. So Black Moonstone is really good because it has both the light and the dark in it. So the connection is like a silver thread guiding you from light to shadow and back and protecting you all the way through that process. Now, it's especially powerful at the new moon phase and assists in during times of uncomfortable change, which, of course, working with the dark night of the soul can be uncomfortable. An excellent support energetically and emotionally for times of transformation and also rebirth. So Black Moonstone also keeps you safe during your journey to wholeness because it's also a crystal that helps in safe travel. Lapis is a stone of power and ascension. So when you work with lapis, you want to be ready to heal your wounds. In fact, it is a wound that you're trying to heal. It will allow you to rise from that realm of shadow to reclaim your power. Lapis is also known as a priestess stone. It helps you walk through the aspects of your shadow side, helping you to understand what you find, what to consciously work with to ascend into light of growth and self-discovery. So it can be an important one in this process. An obsidian blade. That acts like obsidian acts like a mirror for you to see into your shadow side for the deeper meaning around the shadow side and what you're doing with it and how you're working with it. And it helps to unlock the symbols and insights that are presented to you. It helps to purify your auric field, so your aura and your energy, and helps with integrating your shadow side, especially sheen obsidian, because sheen obsidian carries the light and the dark. If you've been holding old energy, then you're ready to let it go, this stone is perfect. It's a really perfect tool to work with. It transmutes low vibrations into higher ones and helps you integrate your light and dark together because you need both. Now, a major part of our life's work is acknowledging that we actually have the light and the shadow, and obsidian provides the major support in that kind of process. Now, an obsidian blade will help cut through negativity or what no longer serves you. What you do is you take the blade and you draw it through that energy, and it's absorbed into the crystal. So you can imagine in your mind's eye that energy wherever you feel it in your body and have it start to come out and draw it through that energy. It's a really good symbolism, but it also absorbs that energy as well. It is also a stone of success. It's really good for businesses, for success, but it also helps you to be successful and follow through with the commitment you've made to the process. It can also show you where your strength lies and how powerful you really are and that you can do anything. Obsidian is great when you're working with anything like this. It's a really perfect stone for that. It can also help you invite your shadow aspects to come forward so you can choose what it is you want to work with as well. And then it will help you to integrate what you learned through the process. And that makes you stronger. It makes you, it ups your personal power as well. Black onyx is a stone. It's a big help stone. And it's a big support stone during any process of self-work. When you feel overwhelmed and unbalanced, you can hold a piece of onyx and helps to draw on its strength so you feel calm and stable and safe. Selenite purifies spaces and raises the vibration of those spaces. Selenite is a stone of joy and clarity and beauty and higher realm connection. With selenite, you know you are supported. You're always being watched and cared for. You're never really alone. Even though you may not see that energy, selenite shows you that you're never alone. It helps you to clear out old energies, old wounds that you might not realize you're still holding on to. And they can be healed or released during your shadow work process and practice by running a selenite wand or blade within your energy field. So that's within 12 inches of your energy field. You run it over your whole body, front, back, side, underneath your arms, over your arms, and the bottoms of your feet. And this is something that you could do, anybody and everybody should probably do on a daily basis. And the more you do it, the better you feel. And it can also assist with clearing cords to people, energies, or places, or even experiences that are no longer something you want to be connected with, or they don't serve you anymore. They don't serve your greatest good. Smoky quartz is the last one, and it is really a powerful ally in shadow work. Keeping it close to you, it helps to guard your space, it clears your field, and it keeps you grounded. It is a good one for transforming and transmuting energies. So another one that takes whatever is negative or of a low vibration as well and holds that energy away from you, takes it away. And it's so important in any work you do where energy is being released. So smoky quartz is like a must. For me, it's a must. It's very supportive, grounding, and it will anchor you. And like I said earlier, it'll never let you down because it's like your best friend holding your hand, walking with you through any kind of process, encouraging you to keep going. Now, shadow work is definitely a deep subject and not to be taken lightly. Whenever you're dealing with energy or pain, old hurts, traumas, etc., and it should be taken seriously and with gentleness and compassion and kindness to yourself. So smoky quartz, selenite, what did I have here? Onyx, obsidian and an obsidian blade, black moonstone, lapis, and Apache tear. Those are ones that I really recommend, and sheen obsidian as well is something I really recommend when you are doing any, what I'm going to say is soul work, dark night of the soul journeys, anything like that, deep work within. Those are really good crystals to work with. I wish you well on that journey, Shelley, or I mean Donna. She's in New York, and she's the one that asked that question. Because those are not always easy journeys to do. But I wish you well, and thank you for sending in your questions today. My next class is actually next Tuesday, and I'm going to be doing it on what sometimes are known as the Queen's Stones. They are precious stones, ruby, sapphire, and emerald. Ruby and sapphire are corundums, and emerald is a beryl, so I'll be talking a bit about some of the other crystals in those two gem families. Classes are available to purchase on the website if anyone is ever interested. I have archives and the current classes. They're done on YouTube, so you can be anywhere in the world, and you get a course guide as well as a link to the YouTube video, and you get to keep it for the rest of your life, and you can always go back and look at it as many times as you want. So thank you for listening today and for all your questions. The next show is July 4th at 9 a.m. Pacific time zone here in North America. And please send in more questions. I love it when you do that. So have a great June and many crystal blessings. Thank you.